I have found David, a man after my own heart. Imagine God saying that. This is found in the book of Acts. Of course, David lived during the time of the Old Testament, but as one of the faithful servants was quoting the passage from the Old Testament. It's in Acts 13, 22b. I wish I could put into words how I feel when I read that verse. I have found David, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. I have a desire to be that. Anybody with me on that? Yeah. I could break down and sob reading that verse. If you were to ask me the thing I'm most thankful for in life, boy, there's a long list. I've had a blessed life. Had some bumps and hard times. Been through some crises. My, oh my. But I've had a good life, a blessed life. But if you were to ask me what's the thing I'm probably most thankful for in life, I would say it's the hunger after God. Mike, when I was a young man and I observed my mentors that were godly men, and boy, you're privileged if you have good mentors. Are you a good mentor? Are you a good mentor to those that look to you? But as I look to my mentors, there was born in me a hunger. Vince, it's never gone away. I'll be 65 in March, and it's never gone away. That fire has never gone out. Mike, you and I knew Pastor Bishop well. I saw in him, who was one of my mentors, I saw in him a faithfulness to God and an appreciation for God despite circumstances that most would have been bitter over. Bearing two of his little boys in Honduras. Having to leave the mission field. In human fleshly thinking, every reason to say, why in the world would God call me to the mission field and I have two sons die and I have to go home and raise my family in Fort Wayne, Indiana and raise three daughters by myself? His one daughter told me that sometimes in the night she would wake and she would hear sobbing and she would go in and he was laying on the bed with his wife's picture on his heart and he was crying. And he'd preach every Sunday. But that man invited me to have devotions with him on Thursday morning because I worked the night shift at Kroger's and I had just become a Christian. I was in crisis and he said, and it was spirit-led, he said, Tom, I want you to come in, have morning devotions with me, and I would meet him at the altar. And I saw something in that man that put a hunger in me, Robbie, that's never died. God said, I have found David, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Do you know you take a beating sometimes when you do the will of God? Anybody? Anybody done the will of God in their family and taken a stand and took a beating for it? Anybody done the will of God in their ministry and nobody understood it and you'd go back and say, Lord, I'd like to change this. This isn't going over very well. And he said, do it. I never will forget as I was apologizing for something I was doing one time that God spoke to me and I went on a prayer walk and the Lord chastised me. And he said, son, if I tell you to do something, don't you apologize for it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the end of that apology. I have found David, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. I'm telling you, folks, we're nearing the tribulation hour. And we got to have people with this level of commitment. Are you with me? And I believe we have it in this church. You know why I believe it? I believe you'll die for Christ. You know why? Because you were willing to die for the devil. You were willing to die for the devil, but now you've found the giver of life. You've had enough hurts. Dying don't sound all that bad. Anybody been there? Dying doesn't sound all that bad. You've been to, I'm not saying in a swearing sense, but you've been to hell and back in your life, and dying don't sound all that bad. Do you know that God is scanning the church world today looking for Davids? Yeah. He's looking for Davids. One prophet said, "Here am I, send me." Who will go? "Here am I, send me." I don't feel very qualified. Anybody share that? I don't feel like I got lots of endorsements. Anybody been there? I don't feel like I got the emotional stability to pastor. Hello. I've been pastoring for 37 years and I don't have the emotional stability to pastor. Hello. If you can't see that, you're blind. I'm proof that God can use anybody. I am proof that God can use anybody. Absolute proof that God can use anybody. Paul said, "When I am weak, I am strong." And that's why at the near death of leukemia in the hospital, when somebody said, "How are you really?" Look me straight in the eyes. I said, "Foundationally, I'm perfectly fine." "Because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." There was born within me a hunger. I saw my daddy, who was a second mentor. I saw my daddy. People give him a hard time. He had to do confrontations. I've seen him tremble before meetings. I have him there on the wall, on the side of the bookcase in my office. "Tell the truth, even if your voice shakes." I've seen my dad literally tremble. But he said, "I've got to do this." I remember a decision he made in Haiti one time. He had to remove a couple from the mission field. And he told me, he said, "Tom, that's the hardest thing I ever did in my life, but I knew I had to do it. I had to do it. I had to keep the integrity. We had to be what we say we are in front of those people." And they knew we weren't perfect, but we have to be for real, and we have to. And he had to go and remove. And the father of the missionary at that time, this has been years and years and years ago, the father of the missionary at that time who was on the mission board got so angry at Dad, never spoke to Dad the rest of his life. But I was raised by a man that would tell the truth even if his voice shook, and he'd say, "I've got to do this, Virginia. You pray, I'm going to go have the meeting." But when I saw Pastor Bishop and I saw my father and then my older brother Jim, 16 years my senior, he was also a mentor in so many ways. And I saw the forgiving spirit he had to me when I stole from him. And I saw the gentleness as he chewed me out and turned and read the Ten Commandments to me, "Thou shalt not steal." And I already knew that. "You have anything else you'd like to say?" And I'm like, "Oh, shoot, this hurts like everything." And then he put his arms around me and pulled me up close and hugged me and said, "Tommy, I forgive you." I saw something in those mentors that sparked something in me that's still burning. It's still burning. I have found David. A man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Oh my goodness. What an honorable statement. I have found Tom to be a pastor. Would the Lord say that? I'm asking myself. You ask yourself. I have found Tom a pastor. He will do what I ask him to do. He won't shrink back. He won't worry if it passes popular vote. He will do what I ask him to do. My. God is looking for something, ladies and gentlemen. God is scanning the crowd and he's looking for something. He's looking for the person that has David's heart. He wants relationship. The echoing voice in the Garden of Eden was, "Adam, where art thou?" Adam and Eve had fallen from grace because of their own decisions. And we hear God walking in the garden. And it was the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "Let us make man in our own image," it says. In the beginning, God created. It's a plural word. But as Jesus walked and called out, "Adam, where art thou?" I've often said the most sad words in the Bible are, "Adam, where art thou?" God wants a relationship with us. But I want to call you to another level as we near the tribulation hour. As we near the time of the tribulation hour, and I believe it's coming. There are those, I haven't heard anyone here, but there are those in our community that you're too intense about this. You're too intense about this. I've been sitting on this for years and waiting for the right time. I was preaching on the coming of Christ with fervor when I was in my late 20s. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but I was. And I was doing series in my early 30s of 15, 20 messages in a row on the return of Christ with charts across the front of the church that told the tribulation hour. And then it seemed like the Lord began to emphasize in the ministry, glean the fields, reach the lost, let the message be compassion and mercy. But Vince, in the last year, this is coming back. And it's because of the birth pains. It's because we're in the season of His return. And those two are to go together. We are to glean the fields. That's our vision. We are to reach the lost. That's our vision. That's what's on the end of the building. But we're also to herald that you haven't got all day to do this. We're to herald that you don't have all day to do this. It's time to button down the hatches and get ready for the tribulation hour and the return of Jesus Christ. For the Lord Himself will descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. I have found David, a man after my own heart. He will do everything that I want him to do. Go to page 2. Are you making anybody thirsty? I just want to do a little exit ramp here. And then I'll go back to my main topic. I said those mentors made me thirsty for God, the living water. Are you making anybody thirsty? None of us are perfect. We're in flesh. He remembers that we are dust, Psalms 103. But I want to live a life as you get to know me. And as you spend time with me, and as you're around me, and as you observe me in the settings, all the settings of the world, I want to live a life that makes you thirsty. I don't want you to be disappointed when you get to know me. Oh, does that mean that you won't observe some mistakes? Yes, you'll observe some mistakes. But I want to be a man that always backs up, if he needs to. I don't want you to be disappointed. Why am I exiting here for a minute and talking about this? Because as we near the troubled times in the future, we have to have beacons of light. Ye are the lights of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let me encourage you in a very practical way. Trim the wick of your lamp. May the Holy Spirit, which is the oil, be sought in this building. And may the light glow bright, as we read in Matthew 25 about the five wise and five foolish virgins. What happened? The lamps went out. Trimming the wick. Maybe this week has worn you down. Trim the wick. Restart Monday morning. Lord, I want to be an example for you. Have you made anybody thirsty? It says in Romans 8:29 that God is conforming us to the likeness of His Son. What's going on in my life? What are these trials and difficulties about? What is this new season, Sam? What is this new season? It's God forming me to be more like Jesus. It's a new set of difficulties, a new set of challenges. Oh, we were in the cocoon. We were in the mother's womb, so to speak, and that was a protected environment. And boy, we had the warmth and the coziness and the food, and it was just piped right to us. It was easy. Now I'm outside that realm, but look at the difference between the size of the womb and the size of the world. And when we enter into God's kingdom, there's that much difference. He wants to develop us. He wants to take us from that cocoon in place of safety when we're first saved. And then you begin entering a time in your life where there's trials and difficulties and there's a new set of temptations and there's choices before you. And He wants us to make those right choices. He wants, what is He doing? He's forming us to be like Jesus. He is forming us to be like Jesus. But as he does that, we draw others to him. I have found David. Let's go back to that first page again. I have found David, a man after my own heart. I'm going to turn to John 4 here and read. Now, stay with me. We've got a very simple thought this morning, but it's a powerful thing. God is looking for something. We're nearing the tribulation hour. We got to be the real deal, folks. We got to be the real deal. It ain't going to stand up if we're not. When the tribulation hour comes, we're going to buckle if we're not the real deal. The strength isn't our own. It's the oil of the lamp in Matthew 25. It's the Holy Spirit. It isn't within ourselves. But we've got to be the real deal. God is looking for something. I believe God is scanning this congregation this morning during the service and saying, I'm looking for David. Who is he? Where is he? He will do everything I want him to do. All right, we're on this thought of God looking for the person who wants to be after his heart, who wants to keep the priorities right, who wants to follow Jesus more than anything else, wants the pearl of great price. John chapter 4, story of the woman at the well, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. And he had to go through Samaria on the way. He came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat down wearily beside the well about noontime. Okay? Get the picture? Jesus was in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. God in a man's body. It says he experienced everything we experience. He's on a journey going to the city of Sychar. He's tired. He sits down on Jacob's well, okay, to rest a little bit. He pulled off in the rest park, went over and sat down beside the drinking fountain, okay? Soon a Samaritan woman, and incidentally, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Bible, and I know there's a lot of you that are that way, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews because they were considered half-breeds. They were scorned in society. Interesting, this is a Samaritan woman. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans in those days. And she said to Jesus, "You're Jewish, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And he replied, "If you only knew the gift of God and what he has for you and who is speaking to you, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. "This well's very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob?" Boy, she didn't know who she's talking to, did she? Oh boy, my ADD kicks in. Can I just run off on a tangent there for a second? Watch for him. Watch for Jesus. He shows up in forms you don't expect. Many have entertained angels unaware. Yeah. Oh, I've had some cool experiences. Yeah, I've had encounters. That when they left, I said I could see in their eyes that wasn't a normal person. Pam said, "I think they just had cataracts." I was going through a rough time at Kroger's years ago, Ben. And I'd always try to go in the break room and hang out with the people and try to be a witness or start a good conversation or something. And I was getting beat up pretty bad. A lot of people making fun of you, you know, and stuff. And I'd been pretty wild, and I was taking a Bible to work, you know. And, of course, that was making a big hit. And I was sitting out in front of Kroger's, where Kroger's used to be, that is now the Mexican restaurant there, next to the bank there on the West End. And I had my Bible, as I recall, and I had been reading in about the coming of Christ. This guy comes around the corner of the building like he had come up the alley. I'd never seen this guy in my life before. When I was in that area, we had 10,000 customer count, some of them repeats, but we saw people all the time, and I was out with the sales floor with people, so I saw him. He comes around and sits right down. The minute he sat down, he looked straight at me in the eyes, and he said, "Boy, Lord's going to have to come back and straighten all this out one of these days, isn't he?" Looked over at him. I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Lord's going to have to come back one of these days." And he and I struck up a conversation. We talked for about 4 or 5 minutes. He got up and walked around the building again. I never saw him again. And that verse kept coming to me. Many have entertained angels unaware. Boy, that woman, she had a rough life. She's a Samaritan. We're going to hear a little bit more about her in a second. You don't know who you might be talking to. Are you Jacob? She's talking to God. She's talking to God. The one who paid the price for our sins. Jesus paid it all. She was talking to Jesus and didn't realize it. I got other stories too, but I'll just wait some other time to tell you. Oh, I've had some cool experiences. I don't walk by the river for nothing. That's some neat experiences. Where are you going to get this living water? And besides, you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons? What's the defensiveness all about? You know, I just asked for a drink, for heaven's sake. You know, isn't it something how when people got a lot going on inside, they just get all worked up? How can you offer better water than he and his sons enjoyed? And Jesus replied, I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. Anyone who drinks this water, referring to that well, where they could drop a bucket in and pull up some nice cold water, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. How many of you know that if you drink the world's water, you're going to get thirsty again? Anybody know that? You guzzle that up, you're going to get thirsty again. It's just going to come back around. Lust is never satisfied. Hello. And before long, you've gone over the falls, and you've embraced a spirit of lust, and now you're driven by it, and now you're doing things you never dreamed this water isn't going to satisfy. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The problem I have with addictions is they are substitutes for living water. Are you listening? The problem, this isn't a do's and don'ts church. Up here on these shelves, there aren't a book of doctrines. Actually, there's two cookies and some other things. What was I talking about? Those cookies look so good, I forgot. Huh? Oh, do's and don'ts. Thank you. I fasted this week, so I'm a little short on carbs. We don't have a list of do's and don'ts up here, and you're a bad girl, bad boy, you did this, boy, you fell the other night, you're this, you aren't that. That's not what we're about. May I say that loud and clear? Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to bring them to repentance. I love John 3:17. Of course, John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. But the next verse says, God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be salvaged. So we're not here, you're a bad girl, you're a bad boy, you did this. The problem we have with addictions is it's a substitute and a shortcut for living water, and you're going to have to keep dropping the bucket, sister, and you're going to have to keep dousing yourself because it's not going to fix it. But there's a root down in there that started this whole thing in the first place. We've even had people, I'm not taking shots at anybody, I will not do that from up here. We've even had people say, you guys run addiction center, you don't know what in the world to do. First of all, it is an addiction center. It's character transformation. Because we believe there's a deeper problem that made you go that way in the first place. If it was an addiction center, we'd have a high-paid medical team over there, and we'd need them. That's not what it is. You got to detox before you get there, because we believe what David Wilkerson said is right. We need character rehabilitation. You got to connect with God and figure out what caused this mess in the first place. There's some reason why Vince Darwin, at 13 years old, turned to something else. But when you tap into living water and pull it up and get a taste of that, oh my. But the devil's a master of shortcuts. And the problem we have with addictions is it's substitute for the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Oh, that makes all kinds of sense. Those who drink of the water I give him will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Yeah, come on, somebody. Yeah. It gets in here and it starts bubbling back up, you know? And they say, did you used to know him? You remember that guy? Have you seen him? He's a preacher. You seen Vince Darwin? He's a preacher. You seen Michael Graves? Michael Graves is in prison. You talk to him? Something different about him. You girls come out of the rescue resort as you open your heart to the Lord. Pam and I will remark and say they look different out of their eyes. Well, your spirit looks out your eyes. And when you get living water going on, then that's what's looking out your eyes, the Holy Spirit. Addictions are a substitute for the Holy Spirit. Shortcuts. The devil's a master at shortcuts. He offered them to Jesus. Bow down and worship me. I'll give you everything. Jesus was going to get everything anyway. But you get it right now if you bow down and worship me. Hadn't changed these lines too much. Please, sir, the woman said. This is an awesome conversation. I get so tickled reading it. Jesus knew the whole scoop. He could see right through this. He knew the scoop on this lady. And she's trying to get defensive. She's trying, oh, now are you greater than Jacob? And what's this water? And she's sidestepping him big time. You ever have anybody do that? Oh, yeah. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again. I won't have to come here and get this water. She's still thinking physical. Can you get out of physical, hello, and become spiritual? Anybody? She can't get out of the physical. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What did I start a conversation with him for? She says, give me this water so I don't have to come here. And he looks up and says, you go call your husband. What'd you have to bring that up for? Of all things, we're having a friendly conversation about water. And you have to mess it all up and say, go call your husband. How many of you know that if you're going to get the sweet Holy Spirit, you got to deal with your issues? Anybody? If you're going to get the sweet Holy Spirit, you got to deal with your issues. God can do more in your life in 5 years than you did in 55. He can do more in your life in 3 years than you did in 23. But you got to answer the questions. Go get your husband. I don't have a husband. The woman replied. He said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. And you aren't married to the man you're living with now. You spoke the truth. Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. You suppose? Isn't that a cool story? I think this guy's a little more than meets the eye there. Let's kind of forget about the drink thing. And yeah, we're having a little fun here. And that's okay. We're doing it reverently and appropriately. Jesus brings us around. He brings us around to our issues. He wasn't handing her a list of do's and don'ts then. What he was doing is seeing right through to her heart, and he knew this girl had a hunger, never been satisfied, and she's tried and thought, well, it'll be multiple relationships, and that'll fix it. And she's been through five, and she's with another one, and it ain't working. How many of you know that if you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you always got? The teen center used to be Skinner Chapel in the rescue resort. What a beautiful place God's given us there. even though it was pretty painful birthing it. You know, you got to do the will of the Father. Yeah. The left side of that platform used to be that now's the rec room for the kids. I pleaded Vince with a woman. She's dead now. If I said her name, you know who it is. Some of you. I pleaded with that woman. I don't know how many relationships this woman's been through. Damn, you know who it was. Pretty gal, a lot to offer. But just kept going from bucket of water to bucket of water to bucket of water, but not buying into living water. And I remember after she had just come out of a horrible last relationship, and she's at wit's end, "Pastor, could I talk to you?" I met with her up there in my old office that's to the left of the where the platform used to be. And there was a coffee table there. And that was a little bigger than the office. We made the platform larger and took out part of the offices. By the couch there, and she was on this chair over here. And there was a coffee table. And I remember kneeling down in front of her. I'm going to call her Susie. That's not her name. And I said, "Please, I've been watching you for years. Please, will you do it the right way this time?" Psalms 37:4, hon, says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." There's a godly man out there that you could fall in love with, and he'll be one, but you got to get this other stuff worked out first. You can't just go to your 19th relationship and keep cutting your heart in little pieces, because the smaller you dissect something, the less it's recognizable. You agree? Now, we're not being gruesome here, and the kids are upstairs, but if you cut my arm off right here at the elbow, David, it's still an arm. You can tell. You cut it two places, you can tell it's an arm. But you cut that in enough pieces, you won't know what it was. It's unrecognizable. And I said, "Hun, you're going to..." I pleaded, I cried. Well, what I didn't know, she was going to die shortly after that, and I didn't know that. She's a young woman. I pleaded with her. I said, "Will you do it right this time? I've seen you do this over and over. I've had weddings for you." Got to have living water. So Jesus wasn't being rude or inappropriate by saying, "Go call your husband." He was addressing the heart issue. "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Tell me, why is that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place to worship?" Isn't that interesting? You know they're still using that argument, Vince? When you confront somebody about the real issues, they'll say, "All these churches out here. Some say you should go over there, and some say you should go over there." Have you ever heard that? Why? They don't even agree with each other. "I think they're all a bunch of hypocrites." That's a nice exit ramp. Don't try that with me. I see through that. That's what she did. When she got confronted, she didn't answer the question. She said, "You must be a prophet. Tell me, the Jews insist that Jerusalem's the only place to worship, and we Samaritans claim it's over at the mountain where our ancestors worshiped." Now, you say, how is he going to tie this all together? Here it is. Jesus said, "Believe me, dear woman." The NLT, that's a nice translation of that. Look it up. That's correct. That's accurate. "Believe me, dear woman." In that, don't lose the "dear woman" part. He didn't say, "Daggone you, you're sitting here lying about your family, and I confront you about a few things. Answer the question." No, that's not what he did. "You be tender with the sinners out there." Come on. You know who Jesus chewed out? The religious people. You say, "Oh, Pastor, I was there a couple weeks ago, and you preached on lukewarmness. Good night, you screamed and hollered and stood on your head and yelled and hollered." Yeah, and Jesus ran the hypocrites out of the temple. Some of you were offended by that message. That was too intense for you. Well, Jesus ran the hypocrites out of the temple. But I'll tell you something. You won't find where Jesus laid into a sinner. Because he knew what was behind it. He knew that they were looking for something. And they're just a little braver than other people. So when they're looking for something, they just went out and tried some stuff instead of putting on a religious face and being something they weren't. "Believe me, dear woman." Isn't that awesome? "The time is coming." Here it is again. I found David. "The time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain. It ain't going to matter where you go to church or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews are supposed to know a lot about it. But the time is coming. This is red letter. This is Jesus talking. The time is coming, and it's here, when the true worshipers, listen, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. See how scripturally consistent this is. In Acts, oh, I found David. There's David. Some will say worship here. Some will say worship here. Don't get caught up in all that. You need to worship somewhere. Fail not to assemble yourselves together. The scripture says you need that. But the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And boy, that's a powerful package. They come to truth. They go ahead and cough up the husband reasons and the wife reason. They worship Him in truth. They come to truth. You got to come to truth. And in spirit, the very core of their being. Oh, is this theologically consistent? Are we preaching theologically consistent stuff? They said to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, with all thy strength. Woman at the well, what are you looking for? Well, you can say go here and go there and worship on this mountain and go to Jerusalem, but the true worshipers are worshiping with their very core of their being in truth. God is looking for true worshipers. That story ends, and we'll not read any more. Oh, I got to read a couple more verses. The woman said, we're getting somewhere here. But notice, there's some real witnessing lessons in this. He was real pointed. He didn't beat around the bush. He's real pointed about this. But then he called her dear woman and talked to her about worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming. Oh. The one who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And Jesus said to her, I am the Messiah. You know how many people wanted to hear that? The Jews and religious leaders of the day, who are you? Who are you? Who did he picked on? A woman that had a messed up life, had used herself up on everybody. And he said, you know how many would have begged to hear the words, I am the Messiah, and he said it. Oh, do you see the consistency in Scripture? You do if you were here Easter Sunday. Because Mary Magdalene was the one to see Jesus first after the resurrection, and she had had seven devils and was a street woman. Don't tell me God's not shouting to us that He's full of grace and mercy. We're nearing the tribulation hour. He's scanning the crowd and saying, where are the Davids? Where is that person, Mike, that will do anything I tell him to do? If he has to take flack, he'll take flack. If he loses popularity, he'll lose popularity. If it makes people mad, now he shouldn't do it when it's his own making. Or his own pride that causes it. But if you stick to truth and it makes people angry, you got to do the will of the Father. I have found David. Esther is one of my favorite books of the Bible. When I was a little boy, I loved the book of Esther. Mom would always say, Tommy, because we had Bible study when Daddy was a traveling evangelist. And we went with him in the summer. But in the winter, when he was traveling, Mom would check the time zones to know what time it would be, and she would always go in her room and pray when it was time for Daddy to preach. But in the evening, she would try to time it out so she could tell us Bible stories. And there was no storyteller like Virginia Robbins, I'm telling you. There was no storyteller. You've heard me talk about her a little bit before, but I'm telling you, when she told the story of the Good Samaritan and the donkey coming down the road, here he comes. Hear him? And he stopped. And then The man went over to the edge of the road, and there was someone in the ditch. Help! She's a great actor. And she'd tell stories. And it was awesome. What was I talking about? I never made carbs this week. Esther, yeah. So she'd say, Tommy, what book do you want to study? And I'll remember, it's so sweet because she's with the Lord. She might be listening. And I'd say, could you read Esther? And she'd say, Tommy, we've read Esther 15 times. I've kept track. I love that story. How many of you read the book of Esther? Okay, that's an awesome story. You know what gets to you, I think, about the book of Esther? Now, there's all kind of neat things. But you know what gets to us about the book of Esther? This beautiful, beautiful woman that could be in line to be queen. The queen was no second-rate lady, I'm telling you. But the conviction that she acted with, that moves us. That moves us. I have found Esther. Oh, we're not going to read the whole story, but if you haven't read that, I hope it whets your appetite because it's great. The short of it is this. The Jewish people were going to be destroyed through some fraudulent things that happened and through a sinful vice president, I'll call him, named Haman. And it was a bad situation, and the Jewish people were going to be destroyed, and it kind of was set up through trickery, and because this guy hated the Jewish people. He hated Esther's uncle, Mordecai. The short of it is that Mordecai begged, knowing that the Jewish people were going to be annihilated and the line of the Messiah destroyed. There's more to it than meets the eye. And Esther volunteered to go into the king's quarters and plead for the Jewish people. And boy, that was a dangerous step because you don't just waltz into the Supreme Court, you know, and say, hey, boys, got a couple questions. <You know? laughs> That doesn't happen. And Esther knew that when she stepped in to the king's quarters, that he had to lower the scepter to her. And that she touched the scepter. And if she touched the scepter, that was approval to come in, and she could come into his presence. But if you came into the king's presence uninvited, you could be killed for it. So that's the context. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Mordecai, who was her uncle, godly man, sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when the other Jews are killed. She was Jewish, but she had kept it secret. They didn't know she was Jewish. If you keep quiet at a time like this, now if he'd have said this nowadays, they'd have said, Uncle Mordecai is controlling. Sorry, couldn't pass that up. I never thought I'd live a life where you go and pray for people and you ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and you go and talk to them, and then when you tell them something directly, they say you're controlling them. It's hard to say, thus saith the Lord, and I don't think you should want a minister that won't do that. Now, we got to keep the pride and arrogance out of that, and people can be know-it-all. But if you have church leaders that you believe pray and talk to God, let them give you direction. That's what they're for. I received incredible direction from Pastor Bishop and Jack Robbins and my brother Jim. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace that you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relationship and relatives, will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Now stay with me. We're looking for David's. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews of Shushan the palace, and you fast and pray for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days and three nights, and my maidens and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king, and if I die, I die. That's what's missing in the Church of Jesus Christ today. That level of conviction. Oh my goodness gracious. If you don't just accept everybody. Oh my. Whew. You fast. See the humility of this woman. She knew she needed help. Well, I'm the queen. I'll waltz in there. I'm pretty enough. She'll probably listen to me. No, she said, you pray, and I and my maidens will pray, and you fast. And I'm going in, and if I die, I die. God's looking for Esthers. Have we got any Esthers? Have we got any Esthers? Have we got any Esthers? I have found David. This subject moves me. This is what God's seeking for. He seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth, woman at the well. Here, you're what he's looking for. But Jesus, Messiah, this is awesome that you sat on the well with me and offered me water, and I can see that you are the Christ, but do you realize how much baggage I have? Do you realize how many years I was on heroin? Do you realize what a messed up life I had? The Father is seeking for such to worship him that will give it up, draw a line, and say, if I die, I die. I'm doing this thing. You with me? Yeah. We're in a new season, ladies and gentlemen. I can't get it across strong enough. We're in a new season. He's calling out a remnant. He's calling out a remnant. He's calling out a remnant, and they're going to serve him in the tribulation hour until the rapture comes. I believe we're going through part of the tribulation. You have to agree with me that. I hope the pre-tribulation people are right. But I believe that we're going to go through part of the tribulation hour. And I believe that he's calling out Esthers, and he's calling out Davids. And you're going to notice even some thinning out in churches, because he knows the motives of the hearts. And sometimes it's just that people need to be elsewhere. So no silent messages here. Sometimes people need to be elsewhere. And then there's others that he weeded them. So we'll not be bashful there either. There's some he weeded because he knew the heart. I have found David, a man after my own heart. Vince, I want to be a man after God's heart. You know something one of my enemies said one time? Oh, you don't want to know. Oh, I've been called everything. Oh, I've been called a cult leader. I've been accused of every sin known to man. I had an enemy say one time, they said, well, I don't care much for him. And if he thinks something, he won't back down. But I do respect that man. I thought, oh. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. We're not going to be perfect. Every decision we make under the heat of the tribulation period, Mike, ain't going to be perfect. But I'll tell you what, God knows who the Davids are, and I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them. I want to be a walk by the river and raise my hands to the Lord in the quietness of that road and the beauty of September and say, you found David here, brother. Now I'm weak as can be, and sometimes I'm scared to death. But if you'll empower me, if you'll empower me with the oil of your Holy Spirit and you'll put that living water within me, you found David here, brother. I'll stick my neck out there. If I die, I die. If I die. I'm not saying that lightly. Now, one more example. I got to wind this up somehow. Oh, mercy, how do I do that? Job 1:8. Job. This is cool. Write down the book of Job and read a little bit of it in your devotions, if you wouldn't mind, this week. Because we see the same thing. The Lord Almighty and the devil are having a conversation. That's interesting. And the Lord says, have you seen my servant Job? Same thought. The Lord asks Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. All right. That was the start of a test, because the devil accused Job of having wrong motive. You ever have that? That's painful. Well, you know why he does that. It's for, ouch. Wrong motive. That hurts. That hurts. The devil, it's an old argument though. The devil said to God, well, yeah, I've seen him. But you let me put a little pressure on you and he'll curse you and die. You let me put a little pressure on him. So we have the marvelous story of Job. They say that's the oldest book in the Bible, and I believe it probably is. That story. But it's an awesome story. And God said, okay, you can't take his life, but you can go ahead and put the pressure on him. And he let him lose everything he had. Now, he ended up giving him twice what he had before. But there was a reason for that test. And may I say to you with a little exit here, you're going to have some tests. You're going to have some times in your life where you're tested. Because God is proving who you are. And he wants to, at the end of that test, say, I've found David. I've found Robbie. I've found Marcia. I've found Audrey. I've found Dawn. I've found Esther. If I die, I die. Now, in closing, it's the line you were waiting on. Stay with me. You got to hear the rest of this. It's short. Matthew 20:16 is a verse that's troubled people many times. Let me find it here. Oh, will you switch? Let me find where we are here. Go to the next one. There, that's it. Okay, and this is all we'll do today. I got a lot more, but this is be where we'll stop. This verse troubles people. Many are called and few chosen. Oh, we've heard all kinds of interpretations of that, misinterpretations of that. God has a special few, and there's just 144,000. No. Don't buy into that. God is not willing that any perish. Stay with me. I'll come down here so you listen better. God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. He's no respecter of persons, but he is looking for something. And that's the mystery of this verse. Many are called, but few are chosen. You know how you get chosen? By stepping out and saying, I want the pearl of great price. God is looking for Davids. Oh, I'm going to go to church and try to do a little better, and I like those people over there. No, it's more than that. I'm going to sign up and get baptized. No, it's more than that. The Father seeketh such to worship him, he told the woman at the well. That's the old King James Version we read from the NLT. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen Esther? If I die, I die. It's not about social status. It's not about talent. It's not about giftedness. It's not about intelligence. Oh, well, that's the Robins. Oh, it's not about name recognition. It's not about level of understanding. It's not about appearance or theological knowledge. It's the level that you want the pearl that determines being chosen. And as he scans the crowd, and Jim steps up and says, I want the pearl. I want the pearl. I'm selling the other pearls, and I'm buying the pearl. He says, choose him. Choose him. And when Esther steps up and says, if I die, I die. Yes, it'd be nice to have a nice home. It'd be nice to have a reasonable income. And it would be nice to have some of the pleasures in life. But you know what? I want the pearl of great price more than anything else. He says, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. Many are called, but few chosen. And why do I feel this so strong? Because I believe during the tribulation hour and the coming of Christ, he's calling out a remnant. Check it out in Scripture and see if it isn't correct. He's calling out a remnant. And it's complete sellout. It's complete dedication. Open to the fifth seal. I saw the souls of the martyrs. How long, Lord? Because they did not love their lives and gave them up. And who all that is, we don't understand all that totally completely, but we get the bigger picture. And we get where we're headed. And I believe with all of my heart that we're to herald the coming of Christ. That's the mission of CMO. And I believe with all of my heart that we are to call people out to another level. People are not ready. Seek the pearl of great price. He lays it out before us. He calls us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. I'll commune with him. That man that says, you know what? Mordecai, Uncle Mordecai, you know what? You fasting, your people fasting, me and my maidens will fast, and I'll fix up as nice as I could. The king wants me to look pretty. I'll fix up the best I can, and I'm going to approach. But you know what? If I die, then I die. but I'm doing this thing. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. And I believe, and this is probably a little bit, I'm probably a little bit biased. I think we got more people, percentage-wise, in this congregation looking for the pearl than about any church I know. Because you've come out of ugly, messed up life. We don't have to convince you that sin hurts you, about killed yourself. We don't have to shout and yell and convince you that sin cuts your head off. You already figured that out because you've been there and you've bled. And you've tasted enough living water to know that, boy, I wouldn't mind having a bath in this stuff. Well, that's exactly what the Lord wants to do with His Holy Spirit. He wants to bathe us with His presence, call us out and separate us, come out, cut your ties with the world and quit playing games. Cut your ties with the world and quit playing games. And the loving Heavenly Father that looked at the woman at the well with her ugly lifestyle and said, "Dear woman, I'm looking for people like you." And the end of that story in John 4 is she goes back and brings the whole town to church. And the disciples came back. And, you know, typical church people, if I crack on the disciples, let me just a little bit. What's he doing talking to that gal? Oh, been there. What? What's he doing? What's he? Must be up to no good. He said, "I've got meat to eat that you don't know about. I've got some will of the Father here. I got some bigger stuff going on." And then those men, and they became incredible apostles. So far be it for me to bag on them. But they were human. And it says they came back and they were in a little trouble. Why is he talking to this gal? She's a half-breed. She brought back the whole town. And they had a revival meeting at the Jacob's Well. Yeah. Let's go back to the first page and I'm done. I found David. A man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Man, I'm signing up. I'm signed up. I'm signed up. And I believe many of you signed up too. Yep. All right, let's stand together for prayer.